are now tuned into the game.
Where evolution is revolution.
Welcome to another edition of the Game Recognized Game Podcast with RLJ and Kev. I'm KEV, that's RLJ, and we are the gentlemen advancing the melanin evolution. Where evolution is revolution. Brother J with the dilly, yo.
Black man, how you feeling?
Hey man, I'm making it. I've been better, but I've been worse too, you know what I'm saying? So like, the silver lining in it is like, oh, yo, I'm surviving, man, I'm surviving. The best way I know how.
There we go. The best way I know how.
Yeah, man. You know, trying to stay sucker free. That's always challenging. Always challenging. You know, trying to handle this damn puppy of mine. He getting better though, man. He getting better, man. But he don't have like a concept of my personal space, man. You know, it's this wolf pack thing, and he legit follows me everywhere I go, man. It's becoming a little annoying. First, it's like, oh, I can see why your man's best friend, but then it's like, yo, I got friends that annoy me sometimes too, man. And I think he's crossing that threshold.
Well, know? What else is he gonna do, Kevin?
Actually, man, I want him to sit down like a toddler, man, and play with an iPad or watch TV, turn on Blue's Clues or something. Shit.
Yeah.
Yo, occupy you. Like, I got him chew toys and little games and shit, man. It's like, nah, he's like, nah, I would much rather just fuck with you.
Have you thought about putting him in like doggy daycare so he could like socialize with other dogs and learn things?
Man, I ain't even want to pay to put my son in daycare, man. I ain't putting no dog in daycare.
You gotta figure this shit out, man. You can't have it. You can't have it both ways.
I get it, man. I get it, yo. I get it, man. You know, he likes to play fetch though, man. Like and I'm talking like big ass sticks, man. You know, he get at it, man. So you know, it's okay, but it's just like, you know, I've been a bachelor, man. I've been a bachelor for some time now, and so to have like a being in my space all the time that ain't a woman. You know, it's exhausting. But I guess if it was a woman, that'd still be exhausting too, equally exhausted. So, you know, maybe it is better to have a dog. I'm not sure. The jury's still out on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you either put him in doggy daycare so we can socialize, get their energy out through the day, and learn some things that you could do with him to occupy his time or to build up his individuality. Per se.
Yeah, man. My hope is that him turning into an adult dog, his individuality will be inclusive of sitting his ass down somewhere.
Probably not.
And stop blocking my sight. Can't watch TV, man. Can't eat nothing. Sit on the couch, man. He just be right up there, just like a girlfriend. He's right up there. Scooch on over. Wait a second, where you going without me? Like he's like a stage 5 clinger.
It may get a little better as he gets older, but for the most part, no.
I'm waiting for the day I walk in the door, he just look at me like, it's you again? Like, you know what I'm saying?
But it's just you in your house, so it's,
yeah, I know.
It probably won't ever get like that.
Yeah.
If they're like, if it was someone else, like it was multiple people, they'll be excited to see you and then they go on about their business. Now, my friend's dog, he gets excited to see you for like 2 minutes and then he'll just go and just chill.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm
But he's also an old dog though. Like he's like, I did that. Like, it's kind of like, you know, like we are. Did that already.
But you know, they say the average year in dog years is 7 years, man. So, you know, hopefully he's 21 quick. 21, you know, 20, 21, 28. You know, I'm banking on that. Even though my son's here though, like he love my son, man. He jump on him and, you know, so it's like, damn. But then when my son leave, he's sad for like 2 minutes and then he back on me, man. Like,
Yeah. Guess that means you got to get another person in the house, Kevin.
Ah, Brother Jay. Just throwing salt in the wound, huh? Just that's what we doing. Just yeah, man. I don't know, man. I went on a date here and there, man. I went on a date here and there, man. You know, trying to not be a complete curmudgeon and a recluse, man. You know, I went on a date here and there, man. You know, and had a few conversations or whatever. Yep, Brother Jay. Didn't like the experience. Didn't like the experience one bit, man. One bit.
Fair.
Let me ask you a question, Brother Jay. Is it like customary now, like you meet somebody new, like instead of asking questions or getting to know that person, like it's like a modus operandi to stalk your social media. And then the questions that they're asking, like, you know, if somebody's trying to get to know you, is based on like the timeline of pictures that you've posted. Is that weird to you? Or is that just like the standard practice these days?
Is it weird to me? Absolutely. Is it standard practice? I can see that. I think the always on, always available access to social media, right? I think that has inhibited a lot of people's social development. So I don't know how to have conversations that don't revolve around social media. I don't know how to like engage with an individual without it being through a telephone. I'm so socially dependent upon technology and social media platforms. Like I sometimes don't have a good sense of reality. And I'm not able to, I don't feel secure in engaging without it being through a portal or a device. And so instead of me asking questions, which, you know, it's what we used to do.
Yeah.
I just go look on social media. But then there's also assumptions made. Because I know a lot of individuals that don't include a lot of personal information on social media. Like one of my good friends, him and his wife, if you know them, you know they married. And she said something. She was like, looking at my social media, you don't know if I'm married, in a relationship, single, out in these streets, a mother, if I got a job. You don't know if I'm happy in a relationship. You don't know if I'm upset. You don't know if I'm out here in these streets. You want to know why? Because I post whatever I want to post whenever I post. We're going out to dinner. I'm probably not going to post that I'm out to dinner. You want to know why? Because it's nobody's business that I'm going out to dinner. Everybody goes out to dinner. You got to eat, right? So she's like, why am I going to post the same thing that everybody else is posting? Also, I make my social media for the people that know me. So, like, if you find my social media and I allow you to be in, like, chances are I'm not accepting follow requests from individuals that I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, that also has changed with individuals younger than us. Like, the number of followers we have, the more social credit we got.
I get, and it's weird, man, because I got maybe 1,000 followers on Instagram, but that's over, you know, I'll be 44 this year. You know what I'm saying? Like that's like Facebook turnover and people that I know on Facebook are now with friends on Instagram, and the new people that I meet or what have you. And, you know, I don't really think that's a lot, for real. But, you know, because some people got 5,000 followers, 3,000, 10,000 followers, or they, you know, they got enough followers to, before you could pay for it, to get, like, the blue checks or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I never cared about, like, I guess the social media capital of, like, oh, I got a lot of followers, because I'd be, Most of my friends know I'm pretty chill, pretty boring, man. It ain't like I'm lit. You know what I'm saying? I post pictures of the dog, You know, I got a fresh pair of sneakers. I'm feeling cute that day. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, man, feeling handsome. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it ain't that serious to me, man. It's like, yo, it ain't. Oh, this is what I'm eating for dinner or breakfast or lunch. You know.
But you also got to think, right? And I've discussed this in some of the classes that I've taught, this concept of validation through social media, right? Social validation. I post a picture. If I'm not as secure in myself as I would like to be, and I post a picture and I got 5,000 people and I'm getting 4,000 likes, that kind of validates me. Right? And so I now become dependent on that. Like, I'm posting so that people can like it because
And respond.
that gives me some type of fulfillment in an area in which I'm lacking in real life. Like, I remember one of my former students was complaining per se around individuals on their social media didn't like something that they really liked, so they took the post down. I said, why does it matter? You don't even know these people. Like, if something pops off in the middle of the night, none of these people are coming to your house to help you. So the opinions of all these other folks in things of like your personal life, why does that hold weight to you? And I eventually learned that like there were some things they needed to do the work on in their personal life for them as an individual, but there was a dependency upon that because it validated a part of them that didn't get that nurturing when they were younger, right? And then if you're not careful, that turns into a crutch, right? So like I remember one of my clients said,
The need for validation.
yeah,
Okay.
right? And one of my clients said as a child, like her house wasn't affectionate or wasn't loving. And so she said she found it really, that's why she always loved to go spend the night at two of her friends' house as a kid, because she said her family, they gave hugs, they were affirming, they were supportive, words of affirmation, which is her love language. So she's like, I didn't know. So I didn't get compliments until I got to school and I got around friends or teachers or other kids, right? I didn't get any of this at home. So when she got on social media and strangers were giving her compliments, right, that started to fill the void somewhat of what she didn't get at home in all those years she was longing for it. And pretty soon it then became like an addiction. I gotta constantly post so that I can get this from them. I gotta, they're saying, oh, this will look good in red. So now I gotta find a dress just like this in red because a lot of my followers agreed or liked their comment that it would look better, look good in red. So now I gotta find it so they can say, oh, you look pretty. You're, and when she was walking me through the path, I'm just like, wow. And it all started because she never got words of affirmation or compliments in her house. And so it's like she's chasing the first high every time she posts.
That's kind of wild, though, man, because, like, I mean, there comes a time when you have to have real human interaction.
You
I.e.,
don't.
on a first date,
You
on
don't.
a date,
You
right?
don't. And that's the thing, you don't have to. Because when I meet you on a dating app, guess what I'm doing? I'm still engaging through technology, through
I
another
see what you're
app,
saying.
right? Because a lot of people now they're resorting to meeting people through the apps, through social media platforms. before they even do any interaction or encounters. Like, I was watching one of my nephews and like constantly on his phone, having a conversation, full-fledged conversation, cracking up with his friends. And then when I see him in person with his friends, ain't nobody talking.
They on their phone
They're
still.
on their phones,
It's grown people like that though, man. It's grown people like that, dude.
sitting across from each other, right? Having conversations via the app. And I'm just like, wow, like, put your phones down and engage. But then I thought about it. I was like, well, what are they going to talk about?
That they haven't already. Yeah.
Because technology has already consumed so much. Like, I started asking questions. I was getting short answers, and it wasn't that they didn't want to talk to me. They just didn't have an answer. They didn't know. Current events, had no idea. Now, they could tell me about music that was coming out because they heard it on the app or on the phone, movies, video games, but like stuff that they're learning in school, couldn't tell me.
They're watching like videos of people playing video games as well, which is the
Yes,
weirdest
for
thing ever. Like
hours.
my son is on it. I'm just like, dude, you do know you have the game, right? Like you could play the game. Like you got a PS5, you could play the game. Like you're not even playing the people that you're watching. I think about it like NFL film study or football film study or whatever. It's like, yo, you're not even studying the opponent that you're about to play, man. You just watching some random cat play a video game, making the same mistakes you making, and he ain't even showing you how to beat the game. Like it's like,
No.
well, like, you know, like back in the day, you used to have like the cheat codes on Nintendo and stuff like that, man. I'm like, okay, well, you watching the YouTube to get the cheat code to figure it out to get past a certain level. All right, I could kind of appreciate that. But it's like, nah, they ain't even give you no secrets. They're not pointing out what they call it, the little Easter egg that you need to pay attention to in a particular scene or whatever. Like they're legit watching some random person play a video game, and they ain't even nice at the video game, man. This joint is wild. But to your point though, next time you go into a restaurant, Brother Jay, next time you go in a restaurant, just sit down and look around, man. You can see the same thing with adults sitting across from each other. Or the next time you go to a bar, yo, you
So
can see the same thing.
I got a group. There's a group of our friends, and we did this like right when social media started to pick up, right? And so whenever we are, and because we don't live nearby, so whenever we do link up, we make it a point, phones are away, and the first person to check their phone pays the bill. Right? We're gonna split it right now, split evenly, but like first person to pull their phone out while we're having a conversation, or like it's not a, like if it's not a phone call, like emergency, if you got kids or family, first person pull their phone out, you gotta pay. And after a while,
That's tough.
people
That's
are like,
tough.
yo, Negroes, like, I need y'all to stop ordering so many. No, put your phone down.
Every time you pull your phone out, you buy a round. That's the hell that I like that, man.
We don't see each other, right? So it's
Yeah.
like the people that you talking to, you talk to them when we leave. Like, we haven't been in the same space. I think at the time we were all working for a traveling educational company. And when like we originally are all from all over the states, right? And so we would see each other often then, but now that we no longer work for that company, and like we're grown up because we were still in college per se, or right out of college, now we're adults. Like, we, most of us are in a parade to our 40s, right? And it's so when we do see each other, like, this time is, yo, this is sacred, put this away, whatever. Now, if you're showing me something on your phone, that's different. But like, you check in and text in and communicating via social media for people that's not in front of you, yeah, no, you paying the bill, bro. Paying the bill.
But
And
I don't know, that's kind of slick too though, man. Cause like if you're showing somebody something on your phone, because people do that, man. You'll sit there, you might be with your girl, man, and she's showing you memes. She's scrolling on the phone. Oh, look at this meme. Look at this meme. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, look at this TikTok. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. And so it's, I mean, like, it's still a little slick kind of way because you're still kind of communicating or engaging by way of the platform. But it, instead of getting a like, you're asking for like a real time live like from an actual person in front of you.
Yeah. Now, what I will tell you.
You know what I'm saying?
What I will say is, like, I'm not finna sit there and let you show me stuff on your phone. Like, I'm not. Like, if you want me to see it and it's on Instagram, send it to me. If it's on Facebook, you can send it to me. If not, take a screenshot. You can text it to me. But if we're spending time together and most of that time involves us, like, on our device, no. Mm-mm.
Hey man, that's I'm a bachelor. I'm a bachelor because of that type of stuff, man. It's wild.
Now, what
it's
I will say is, so a bunch of relationship coaches, we got a group chat, right? And once a month or twice a month, we'll jump on Zoom and just talk about like different things and tips and tricks and
iron sharp as iron.
Yeah, right. And so we have seen a lot of couples that come to us where the relationship was built or based around a social media dependency are now having challenges because you're finding out who each other are at their nucleus as you live together. And it's like, well, I said, well, what was the conversation like before y'all moved in? Like, what did y'all discuss? Oh, well, you know, everyday stuff. But give me an example. And they would be so on the surface. And it would be repetitive. How was your day? Did you see this on TikTok? Did you see this? Let's go watch this. Oh, let's check out YouTube. Let's do this. And it's like, you about to share space with this individual and like, you don't know why she has like ill feelings towards Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Mm.
You should probably ask that question. Like, an avoidance, like when she sees it in public, it's like a full-on anxiety attack. You might want to figure this out. Like, because once you say I do and y'all live together and you're married and it's like now you're starting to figure some stuff out and it's like, oh, we probably should have had different types of conversations. But I'm learning that people aren't having conversations. They don't know what questions to ask. And a lot of that is due to, like, social media is how we built our relationship. So God forbid, like, and you know, there's been days where Instagram, it was down for a few hours, or Twitter was down, or Twitter was doing some changes.
I remember a few of those times and those moments, man. People were going crazy,
losing their shit, and I'm just like, when those happen, I think about some of my clients who say like, "Yo, it's really silent in our house if a social media platform crashes," and I'm like, "Yo, that's wild to me. What do you mean?" Like, they have nothing to share. They have nothing to laugh about. I'm just like, this is intense. It's also concerning and sad at the same time, though, bro, because the art of communication is slowly fading. And, yeah, you still need to have communication skills, or social media does require you to... No, never mind. Communication skills are still a vital essential, or should be a vital essential when you are engaging on social media. But we know that's not always the case. But for a lot of individuals, it's going to be tough. Like, I think my last time teaching a college class on campus pre-pandemic, I was noticing a decline in terms of, like, how individuals just didn't know how to communicate effectively. Or they didn't know how to critically think or do any type of problem solving, or like there was just nothing. And it was real concerning. And now, God bless those who were in the classroom, because I couldn't.
Man, I was thinking about that too, because they already ain't paying teachers enough money anyway. But now, oh my goodness, man. Because it goes beyond the student. You know, you could try to make up the difference in the classroom as much as you can, but it's the parent. Like I said, you know, the kid's on their phone, and you go to any restaurant or any kind of event.
Parents on their phone.
The
as
parents
well.
On their phone, man. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of counterproductive, yo. You know, and the thing that I can somewhat appreciate about like live sporting events, you know, the focus is on the game, right? You know, like even if it's a matter of like, you know, me and my friends, we were on a group chat during the Super Bowl or whatever, you know, we're not, you know, all over the country, but we kind of, oh, that was a crappy play. Oh, Mahomes about to take this one to the house, you know. But we're talking about the game in real time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're using the technology as a platform to kind of build community, but the focus is on the game, right?
Yeah.
And it's ill. And I know you kind of like you know, you're still on your NFL boycott, man. But did you at least watch some of the Super Bowl?
I saw the Usher concert.
The concert, not the halftime show. The concert,
the Usher concert. Yep.
So, but you do know, like, in the spirit of Black History Month, man, a black guy won the Super Bowl MVP and won his third championship.
I'm happy for him.
Patrick Mahomes, man. So you know, they not impressed still.
No.
Nah.
I said I was happy for him.
Happy for him. Okay. Well, you know. But you didn't watch the Kansas City Chiefs actually play the San Francisco 49ers, but you saw the Usher concert.
Saw the Usher concert, yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. So, I guess we won't talk about the game. You know, as for our listeners, you all probably know that Kansas City Chiefs won the game 25-22 over the San Francisco 49ers in OT. Pat Mahomes was named the Super Bowl MVP. His third Super Bowl win and his third Super Bowl MVP, stake putting some claim on a future GOAT. I ain't gonna call him a GOAT yet, but he's a future GOAT, man. Pat Mahomes, that's my guy, man. He making the light skins proud. So I could appreciate good old my homeboy. But the concert though, man, you know, or otherwise known as the Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay.
But you know, Usher concert, potato potato, nevertheless. Yeah. What were your impressions on this show, man? You know, some people are saying it was the greatest halftime performance of all time. I'm like, yo, I think that's a little bit of recency bias. But first impressions on the actual content of the show and the layout of the show, man.
It was very nostalgic. And as I was jamming, I was thinking about where I was when I first heard that song. Or like, you know, certain songs trigger certain memories. So I remember being in the club in college and when some of those joints came out, like a couple of my friends, like I would have a certain dance partner for certain songs, like, oh, DJ's playing our song. We would find each other, we would dance, and then go on about the rest of the night, right? And so I was enjoying it. I loved how it was Jackson State, right? The Jackson State.
Yeah, the band.
Marching band was representing. I definitely enjoyed the moment where the brothers of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
You would enjoy that piece. They would. Hey man, them boys is bad though, man. I ain't no haters over here, man. Them boys is bad.
Because I saw something at the beginning, and you know, a dance is a dance. It depends, yeah. Right? Because you can see somebody doing a fraternity signature move that's not in a fraternity, and you'd be like, ah, okay, it's a dance. But then when you. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Nah, they hit that joint too. They hit that joint too good, man.
Yeah. And so I did chuckle when Usher kind of did a little dance move that was close in resemblance. And so that was funny. People were calling me. They was like, "I know you saw your boys on the t-" I did.
Yeah.
I did. I didn't answer the phone till it was over because I'm like, I'm not gonna talk to you while this is on, because this is the only part I'm watching. So I did appreciate that. I appreciate how like all of the elements were incorporated. Alicia Keys, right? I think she looked stunning in the red outfit.
Oh, yo, man, yeah, that was
Like,
it was angelic or devilish, however you want to put it.
however,
It was a bad outfit though, man. It was a bad outfit.
yeah, look very nice. Vocals are still, I got a joke in my one of my friends' group. I was like, "Yo, ever since she took that woman's husband, her, she ain't been able to sing a note."
Oh, yeah, man. She just ain't been quite right, man. She just ain't been quite right. Is it karma? Is it
Is
karma,
it
man?
karma? Is
Ah.
but that's been our joke for years. And 'cause when Alicia Keys first came out, I was like, "Yo, that's my
Man,
wife."
that was my baby, man. I'm like, Lord have mercy.
Hello? Hello?
You know,
And
I've been in diners all across the country trying to find somebody
looking for,
to.
because I like my hot chocolate and I want you to put a little
Yo,
milk in it
man,
so you think I'm sweet.
I done wore my blue suit. I done wore my blue suit with my cufflinks shining in every diner, Waffle House across the country, man. I ain't found her yet. God dang it.
I thought I was the only one. So like, no, so I did appreciate that. I enjoyed that. I like how he brought out Atlanta, right? I like
Yeah.
how Atlanta was represented. He put on for a city. Jermaine Dupri, I ain't even gonna talk about his Wednesday Addams outfit that he had on.
Man, Wednesday Adams, man, he had on his daughter's Easter outfit socks, man. Like, yo, man, come on, B.
Her baptism outfit.
I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. How what kind of socks they were? Who said that that was fly? Yo, like, yo, you can't come out in a baby christening outfit, man. I'm sorry. But you actually look like a baby getting about to be christened or about to take your Easter pictures, man. Like, yo, what the hell is going on, Jermaine Dupri, man? Then the funny thing is, it was like this the little suit he had on with the little knickers,
Right.
the knickerbockers or whatever he had on, man. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Who said it was a fly?
Who hate you
Yeah,
and agreed
somebody,
to this?
your
Who hate
stylist,
you and
man.
agreed to this?
Usher set you up or something, man. Cause he was like, he walked out that joint like the little person that brought out Ray Charles and Ray in the movie, man.
You know what? You know
Yeah.
what? You know? You know
That
what?
was smoking all the weed, man. I'm like, come on, B. Like, yo, your stylist hates you, man. Somebody hates you, Jermaine Dupri. That's foul, man. You done brought too much to the culture, man. You produced Confessions, man. The whole album, man. They should have done you better than that, man.
He should have done himself better. At some
Little
point, you
Debbie
can't put the
Snapcake socks on, man. Come on, G. Come on, my G. What we doing, man? What we doing? Look like he about to look like he should have had on a pair of jellies, man. About to start double dutching and shit, man. What the
Bro,
hell is going on with the world?
I was confused. I was confused. And after I got over the initial shock, I just like, okay, he's not going to be out here long. He'll go away. But yeah, but one thing that I was talking to my mom about as we was watching it, I said, because she was asking like, "Yo, how much you think those tickets cost to go see the Super Bowl?" So we was talking about, the prices and look some stuff up, and I said, "I don't think I would enjoy the halftime show if I was there in person because you can't see anything."
Oh yeah, because you, I mean,
Even
the bleeders is 2,000 a ticket.
Right, and that's like everything looks like an ant, even the screen.
Yeah.
And so, like being in the front, you still can't get a good view of what's happening on the stage. So you gotta watch it on the TV, right?
Yeah.
So it was just too much happening for you to really enjoy the halftime show. But granted, most people don't pay all those dollars to go see the halftime show; they go to see the game. I get it. But I did. I thought it was a good halftime show. Now, will I say it was the best of my time? I don't even think we can compare that because, like, even who was last year? 2 years ago was Dr. Dre, right?
22, yeah, 22, yeah, it was Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, yeah.
Who was last year?
Mary J. Blige. Or was that last year?
No, Rihanna was last year.
Yeah, Rihanna was last year. She had on the all red and kind of floating above the sky. Yeah, so yeah.
With
so
the Dr. baby Dre, reveal.
Yeah, that was the year before that. I thought that was a pretty good show, but I think that was nostalgia for me as well because it was like hip hop, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like I think it all depends on who the performing artist is and the connection that you have to their music.
Yeah.
Right? Both of those shows I'd say were pretty dope and they were very nostalgic. Usher gave everybody a sneak peek of what his touring concert's going to be. For those that didn't go get to see him in his residency in Vegas.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of mad I missed out on that one, man. But, you know, I ain't had nobody to go with, so I ain't going to Usher concert by myself.
Okay. I can see why you would say that.
That's fair. I mean, because even if he tried to take my girl, like, nah, man, hey, you ain't gonna take my girl. You could sing to her. She's still leaving me.
You could have gone there and then found somebody that was single there because there was a lot of single ladies that was there.
Yeah, potentially.
So, I mean, sometimes my grandfather says, sometimes you got to play the hand that you got in your hand.
That's fair. That's fair, man. That's fair. I enjoyed this show myself, man, because it was Usher's my era. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I came of age with Usher, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, it was good to see, air quotes, one of my own actually handling business, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And repping how he's supposed to rep, you know? And the theatrics of the performance was kind of dope to me. And the fact that like you said, Jackson State, but he kind of shouted out like Prince and Michael Jackson, like the white glove and the white outfit. That was Michael Jackson. He shouted out like the Jackson Stadium tours. He shouted out Prince with the purple outfits. But also, like, if you remember when Prince did the Super Bowl halftime in 2007, he had FAMU's band out there. The Marching 100.
The Marching 100.
He had FAMU's band out there. And if you notice Prince's outfit, it was the FAMU colors.
Mm.
He had a green suit and an orange shirt on, FAMU's band out there. So I like the fact that like there was subtleties where Usher was shouting out his role models that had spectacular performances. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, man. I don't think I'm gonna pay for any concert ever again if somebody ain't singing, dancing, and roller skating at the same time, bro. Like real rap. I was so impressed by it. And I know he had put that in his show in the residency or whatever. And he spent a lot of time at Floyd Mayweather skating rink in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? Because Floyd is a skater as well, which is crazy to me. But it's footwork, I guess. Boxing and dancing, like, you know, skating is footwork, balance, and all that. But
yeah.
Yo, bro, hey man, if you ain't singing, dancing, and on roller skates, yo, you're not getting my money. I made my mind up that night because I'm just like, yo, you gotta be a bad mofo to sing, dance, and not bust your ass on a pair of roller skates at the same time.
And not sound winded.
And not sound crazy. And that sound crazy and still hit the and I still hit it all and you on roller skates too? Man, yo, you gotta be a special human being to do that, man. So like ain't nobody get my money, man. If you just gonna come out there singing, you ain't get my money, man. If you gonna just dance, you ain't get my money, man. You gotta do everything. Roller skate, man. I want you to call an altar call in the middle of your show. I want everything. Jermaine Dupri had on the Christian outfit. Usher might as well call Arthur Call out there, man. And the wild thing is, like you said, even kind of just representing Atlanta, linked to the stripper poles and of course Ludacris with the old school Luda Fro coming out. Like it just made me feel good, man, because it was reminiscent of my formative years, you know, becoming a man.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like it was dope from that degree. And then Love Me Some Her. Woo! Love Me Some Her, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love me some her. Yo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything I love me some her, man.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I love me some her. Alicia Keys, that outfit was bad. That outfit was bad, man. But she might have worked on, she could have worked on them keys a little bit better, though. You know,
Yeah.
she could have worked on the keys a little bit better. Yeah, just a little bit. You know, I get it. You out, I get it. You know, you might it could be nerves or what have you. But if they gotta fix your vocals on the YouTube replay, man, you owe somebody an apology, Alicia Keys. You know, you owe somebody an apology. For real. Because it's like you got to be ready for the moment, man. It's the Super Bowl halftime show, man. You can't, like, dude, this dude, like I said, he was on skates, singing, dancing, had some cowboys behind him. Got that going, D Jackson State University band out there, man. Jermaine Dupri had on the christening outfit, yo. Usher, I mean, Ludacris had on the old school afro. And yo, it was a momentous occasion, man. Occasion. You didn't, you gotta, yo, you gotta bring your A game. No pun intended, Alicia, but you gotta bring your A game, man. Like, yo, you ain't do sound check or nothing.
I think all of those things did take place, and I think I just think, you know, karma.
Man.
I was laughing though, in one of my group chats. Course, you know, you got the right righteous who were saying that Alicia disrespected her marriage by allowing Usher to dance on her like that. And everybody, for the most part, was like, you do know that they performed together in the video. They kind of did that in the
Yeah,
video.
it was basically the performance from the video and when they the song the stage performance when the song came out.
It's like you know this is what they this part of the song. Like, you also know that they're entertainers. Well,
Yeah.
yeah, it was NFL halftime with all those people watching and like.
Dude, they had on sequence outfits, man. Like, what part of yo, they act like she had on some booty tight boy shorts on and a sports bra. Like, yo,
Even if she did,
they got on sequence outfits, dude.
but even if she did, they're entertainers.
Yeah, man.
You don't say nothing when you see background dancers going to get it with other background dancers, and most of them are probably married.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I said, wow. Of all things to point out, like, that's a problem to you. Like, yeah, she's desecrating her marriage. And then I was like, well, you saw what her husband posted, right?
Yeah, he get the bag, yo.
He ain't worried about any of this. Like, and they probably had a conversation. They probably knew what was about to happen. They talked
Yo,
about it.
I want to say when the damn song came out, they was already married.
All these things were taking
Yeah,
place.
yeah.
It In a music video, it's acting, it's entertaining. I said, well, do you get mad when you watch an actor or an actress have a love scene with somebody that's not their spouse? And then it was, well, that's different. How? I said, no, granted, there are some bad actors like Brother Denzel who will not do a kissing scene. Like, yeah, I'm not kissing another woman.
Yeah.
That's honorable. But for the most part, like, it's art, it's entertainment.
They act like that. They act like that was Jody and Yvette and Baby Boy, man. After they got into the argument, like, come on, man. What is this really about? Or you would you have preferred her to be 20 feet away, still sitting at that piano, not hitting any of the notes? Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here, yo?
Then people
They're
were
entertainers.
complaining.
Like, they're all of them are entertainers. Her husband, Usher, she's an entertainer.
Their career has been built around entertaining, and you didn't have a problem when they was in a music video. I said, or is it because it was Usher and you were just jealous? And then everybody was like, all right, don't go any further. Because I was
Man.
getting ready to unleash it. Like, or is it just because like it wasn't you and it was Usher? And you
Yeah.
kind of wanted it to be you. Like,
Hey man,
what are we doing?
I wouldn't mind switching spots with Usher in that occasion, man. You know, like I said, man, I'm still looking for my hot chocolate. Man, my hot
With a
chocolate
little
and all
milk because she
a little
thinks you're
milky.
kind of sweet.
Yeah, man. I keep my blue suit clean, man. Out the fresh out the cleaners, just in case, man. Just in
Bro,
case.
whenever I went to New York after that video came out, they was like, "Hey, yo, what y'all want to grab?" I was like, "Yo, that's this diner that we passed. We left the hotel." My friends would laugh, but I would be so serious, like, "No, we trying to." It's like, you know, there was. I said, "Yes, but there could be one like that
Yeah.
in the diner,
Yeah,
waiting on me to walk in."
hey man, you at one diner, I'm at the other one, man. And then after you leave, I'm gonna go over there and see if she working the other shift. Maybe she
Other
put up
shift, yeah.
maybe she working the late shift, man. I've been looking for that waitress all my life, brother Jay. All my damn life, man.
Yes,
Damn. All my life. Yes, I ain't found her yet, brother Jay.
My
I
God,
haven't found her yet, man.
my God,
Crazy. But overall, I really did enjoy the show. I thought Usher was it was a stellar performance. I love the theatrics of it all. I really kind of love the build up. Like you said, it was a concert. People were hype about Usher's concert at the Super that just happened to be at the Super Bowl. Yeah. I think that's because Usher. I can't really say he's our Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson is our Michael Jackson, but I would put Usher in a breath of that kind of entertainer that has had that level of longevity and a successful career and kind of watched them. Now, he was never like a child kid star, but we watched him grow up from a teenager into a man and going through his confessions. And going through his My Way and all of that, like it, and so it made me feel good, man. But what can I say? It was like the greatest show of all time, halftime show of all time. It's tough to beat Prince singing Purple Rain and it started raining, yo. Like Purple Rain, like you, I, that's some God body stuff, man. I also think it's tough to beat Michael Jackson just popping out the stage and standing there for like 3 minutes in the crowd going
Bananas.
ballistic. I mean, that's almost like a deity level of performance, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I ain't but too many people topping that.
Beyoncé do a halftime show?
Yeah, she did it a couple times, man. One solo and then one with Bruno Mars and yeah, but Beyonce got a pretty good stage performance too, you know what I mean? But just as far as like the Super Bowl halftime show that I've seen, like yo, man, I don't think nobody can touch that mic joint, man, 'cause that was like the first year that they did the Super Bowl halftime show in that way. Because I think it all started because like the previous year, and Living Color did like a Super Bowl halftime show. And that joint got like 30 million views on television views. And they were like, oh hell no, nah. We ain't letting the Wayne's dominate our show. And so then they got Michael Jackson like that next year. And I equate that performance or the presentation like seeing the moonwalk, man. It's like, yo, he hops on the stage, he still got his aviator mirror shades on, and he's standing in a statue for legit 5 minutes, man. No dancing, no notes. The drum ain't hit on the one, and people is going crazy. And like the longer that he's silent, they losing their damn mind, yo. I mean, that's some impressive stuff, man. That's like when he was at the height of his height right there, man. And then of course the purple one, man. Yo. Hey, that's tough to top, man. Like all credit to Usher and all credit to the performance and all of the theatrics behind it. But yo, man, I ain't never seen no performer stand on stage and not do anything and people lose their damn mind. And it's like, yo, he ain't hit a dance yet. No, he know nothing. Yo, that's some God body stuff right there, man. So, and then of course, a brother won the Super Bowl MVP. So I was happy about that. But unfortunately, man, you know, and we definitely want to give our thoughts and prayers to all of the victims of the tragedy at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade celebration that happened recently, man. Like, I don't know, Brother Jay. I'm not one to say we in our last days, but it feel like it, man. Cause like, hey, kids ain't supposed to be getting killed, and people ain't supposed to be getting shot at no damn Super Bowl celebration, man. Like the team won the Super Bowl for the city, and that's a celebration for all residents of the Kansas City metropolitan area, man. Like black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you know, it don't matter, man. Like everybody, you know, sports bring people together, man. And you definitely ain't supposed to have that type of incident happen where 21 person died and 21 people get injured at a parade, man. And I don't know. I can't really put my thumb on it, Brother Jay, but it's like humans find a way to human. And it just seems like on all levels, regardless of race, color, creed, we know how to fuck up some shit, man.
And it's, we've been in this sad state of America since God, I would say like in the time with the years of Columbine, and even before that, the Oklahoma City bombing, like when different heinous acts were done by Americans in America. And so, you know, I think about how we came together in 2001 for the September 11 terrorist attack. The nation somehow came together. But things that I noticed, and you know, hindsight is always 2020, but as I look back on it, once they identified who the alleged terrorists were at the time, or the confirmed terrorists at the time, anyone that kind of resembled them or had a name that resembled their names were considered to be a potential threat or a potential terrorist, or to have played an active role in the whole ordeal. And so on one hand, we're coming together as a nation because we felt this. But on the other hand, we're still dividing because there are individuals who are American that may have resembled the individuals that were the confirmed terrorists, right? That may have similarities in terms of nationality or ethnicity. There was still division there. And I don't think we've ever healed from that space, not of just the act and the impact of the terrorist attack, but as people and as individuals, I don't think we've ever come out of that place where individuals are still marking those that are among us, right? Going off of the example you mentioned before we hit record about the situation at the border. When we as a country allow innocent children to be treated that way, what does that really say about, quote unquote, the greatest country in the world? And I, you know, we worked in higher education. And so when DACA was coming to an end or threats was coming to an end,
Students were shook, man.
We were in the trenches, right? And especially, we were working together.
Yeah.
And in the space that we were in, and on the campus that we were working in, given the heavy population, it was like the city was in mourning for weeks. When individuals were thinking like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do now? Like, what does this even look like? She was like, I don't even know what country. One of my students said, I don't even know what country I would go to because I was born here. Like, or I've been here since I was 6 months old. Like, what do I do with that? Like, you're just gonna pack up my stuff and send me to a country that I've really never been to? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Then I thought about like the amount of money and energy it was going to take to get all those individuals out of the country. Like, all that was going to surmount to. And the replications of like taxes is fitting to go up because we're gonna have to recoup those charges. But just the mere fact that the greatest country on earth is only the greatest country to some. And it has always been that way. It's really disheartening. So when you hear things like the Kansas City shooting, trying to make sense of it is like impossible. 'Cause what, why, and like who knew about this and didn't say anything and went along with this? Like, it's I have no words, bro. Like, when I found out about what was happening, I literally felt sick.
Yeah, I it was disturbing and heartbreaking at the same time, man. I don't, because I mean, I think now I probably would never go to an event like that. Like, if you know, like if one of the local teams won something and they do the parade, just because like I don't really do crowds like that because people annoy me. And it's probably one of the reasons why I don't do like arena concerts anymore or like stadium concerts anymore, because one, because some of the stuff you talked about, like, yo, the best visual is really no good seat to see the totality of the performance, but mainly because just the crowds, man. And like people, you just don't know how people are gonna act or show up, you know what I mean? And that's part of the reason. But you know, just to imagine, like, yo, if I wanted to take my son out to an event, like, yeah, I wouldn't want to take my son out to nothing like that, man. Just because of the possibility of something happening. You know what I'm saying? And that's it's sad, because that is something that people should want to go to and celebrate collectively as a community, regardless of race, color, creed, socioeconomic status. Like, yo, we're all from Kansas City. Our team won. This is a celebration. This is a win for us all. Right? And like, you should want to participate and celebrate and become engaged in fellowship with your community at an event like that. You should want to. And it's unfortunate, man. It really is unfortunate, Brother Jay. And you know, our prayers go out to those families and victims, man, and the city of Kansas City for sure. It's just heartbreaking, man, because like, yo, we ain't talking about, you know, and even if it was a block party, or even if it was a minor celebration within the community, we don't want that type of thing to happen. But yo, your team just won the Super Bowl and pretty much has established that they're a dynasty as a result of this third win in 4 or 5 years. And the quarterback is probably the quarterback of his generation. That's something to be celebrated. And him is human, man. It's wild to me, dog. It's wild.
Yeah, it's sad, man. You can't go to parades, you can't go to the movies, can't go to church.
Yep, can't go to the club.
Can't go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Can't go to school.
Yo. Places that you should feel safe and wanting to go to. You should want to be part of your community. You should want to go to church and or your local religious entity, man. You should want to go there and fellowship and get your spirit clean, man. You should want to be able to go into a grocery store and feel comfortable that one, you got the money to pay for the groceries, and two, that you ain't get shot up in a grocery store. You know, or send your children to school to actually learn something, instead of going to school with the possibility that they might not come home because somebody is having an off day, or kids fighting in school and everybody quick to put it on Snapchat or TikTok and share it. It's disturbing, man. Like I don't know, man. I think I've just been giving human beings too much credit, man, because it's like it don't even matter. It don't even matter where you from or where you are right now, where you at, man. It's like all people is just losing they mind.
Mm.
And it's like there are no morals. There are no beliefs, or the beliefs are just so skewed and warped and demented. It's no code, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it should be a code. It should be like on some street stuff happens. But yo, when somebody is singling out kids, that it ain't no code in that, man.
I remember someone said back in the day, real gangsters knew that women and children were off limits, right? They're not going to shoot up the house of the individual because they potentially could hit someone that they're not looking for.
Yeah, women, children, and grandmothers, big mom, like, yo, this is the code, man.
Yeah, like, we not going to... And I heard an OG say, he was like, yo, back in the day, if I had a problem with you and I knew you and your crew was here, like, I'm not coming in, I'm not shooting up your whole crew because your whole crew didn't disrespect me. I'm coming after you. And I'm going to get you, not when it's convenient for me, but I am going to get you when it's inconvenient for you. Like, I'm going to get you, and you're going to be by yourself. And I'm just going to get you. I'm not getting anybody that's connected to you because that's not who my beef was. And he was like, that was the code. I'm not just going to walk up in your house and shoot everybody in there because they in there. That was the code. He was like, but the code of the streets is no longer in existence. Now it's anybody real. Can get it philosophy. And he was like, that's a dangerous place to be in. Because the only way people are going to die is when they did. I mean, only the only way people are going to stop is when they are dead.
Mm-hmm. Dang. Yeah, man. I mean, kind of bringing the conversation to a close and full circle. That anybody can get it thing, that's the code of social media. You know, as far as like the pop off or the receipts or the, you know, the ridicule of, you know, if you're wrong, then now I'm gonna air you out on social media. Anybody can get it. Or I can't be told that I'm wrong, because social media didn't tell me I was wrong. Until somebody on social media tells you that you're wrong. Then it's you a hater, or you know, everybody can get it, cause everybody has a phone and an opinion and an opportunity to get in the comments. It's crazy, man, crazy. But prayers go out to the city of Kansas City, man, for real. Like, at some point, man, this senseless violence got to stop, yo. Like we said, you know, parades, churches, schools. Grocery stores. Yeah. Human beings, man. We got to do better. We got to do better, man. We got to do better.
Yeah.
On that note, you've just witnessed another edition of the Game Recognized Game podcast with RLJ and Kev. I'm KEV, that's RLJ, and we are the Gentlemen Advancing the Melanin Evolution, where evolution is revolution. Until we meet again, be light.
Be light.